Section 3, the Piedmont Region. As you read, look for features of the Piedmont region, the significance of the fall line, the rise and decline of Piedmont industries, and the following terms: fall line, headwaters, sectionalism, mill village, NASCAR, and Monadnock. North Carolina's Piedmont region is a place almost anyone can recognize immediately, for it has an unforgettable feature: its red clay. These iron-rich clods show up wherever a field is plowed or a lawn reseeded, and their stain is hardly ever removed from soiled laundry. The red clay is actually the subsoil in most places, meaning that at one time, trees and forests covered it with black woods dirt. The widespread timbering and cropping of the region made it bleed red in the rain as early as the 1800s. A problem in the region has been erosion and poor soil conservation. Rain and wind washed away valuable topsoil, leaving behind soil that was not good for growing crops. To control the erosion, state officials planted millions of kudzu plants in the 1930s, hoping the fast-growing vine would save the soil. Instead, the big-leafed kudzu, a native plant of Asia, turned out to be the monster that almost ate North Carolina. On a hot, wet day, it can grow several inches. Its tendrils will reach everywhere, all the way up power poles and over the tops of abandoned buildings. By the late 20th century, kudzu was common as a weed throughout the Piedmont. Some communities have even resorted to tethering, tying up, goats in the kudzu, letting them eat it away. The fall line. The Piedmont's red clay erodes so easily because the region is hilly. The landscape is pocked with hills and hollows that twist and curve in all directions. Technically, most of the Piedmont, which means foot of the mountains, is a plateau, a step up from the coastal plain, a step below the Blue Ridge Mountains. In fact, the line that divides the Piedmont from the coastal plain is called the fall line. This is the place where rivers flowing out of the Piedmont, like the Tar or the Neuse, actually go down their last hill. At these points, one finds a waterfall or rapids. Below the fall line, the rivers usually become flatter and smoother, allowing boating. Early settlers were able to use boats to travel from the ocean as far as the fall line. The fall line extends from the north near Roanoke Rapids, southwest past Raleigh and Fayetteville. A state park near Raleigh is called Falls of the Neuse. Historians generally use the fall line to divide North Carolina into east and west sections. Similarly, the western side of the Piedmont, often called the foothills, is bounded by the ridge line where the Blue Ridge Mountains rise up on the horizon. The two principal rivers of the Piedmont region are the Yadkin Pedee and the Catawba. These rivers do not run to the fall line. They have their headwaters, the springs from which they arise, on the side of the Blue Ridge and flow east until being turned sharply south when their currents encounter very hard rock layers. After the rivers bend, the Catawba west of Statesville, the Yadkin west of Winston-Salem, the two parallel each other into South Carolina, where they flow into the Atlantic north of Charleston. One of the key reasons sectionalism, intense concern for local interest and customs, developed in the state was the lack of connection between the rivers of the Piedmont and the coastal plain. More than half the Piedmont is covered in forests. Where there are lots of pine trees, it usually means that they were planted years ago for erosion control on an abandoned farm. Biological succession, where conifers, evergreen trees that produce cones, like pines, give way to hardwoods like oak or hickory, occurs all over the region. Farms and factories. Farming has been as much a tradition in the Piedmont as the coastal plain. However, except for certain rich areas with unusually rich brown soils, like the area around the Charlotte Motor Speedway, farming has always been a struggle in the Piedmont. Early on, farmers depended upon livestock to make their living. Since the end of World War II, they have returned to dairying. This, too, has been in decline in recent times. Only western Iredell County and eastern Alamance County still have a significant number of dairy farms. As farms declined, The building of factories increased as people made a living processing and manufacturing raw materials produced elsewhere in the state. In the area stretching from Kannapolis to Gastonia, textile mills began to make cloth of all types for an international market. Durham, Winston-Salem, and Reidsville were home to the leading cigarette makers in the world in the early 20th century. High Point, Lenoir, and Hickory built chair factories using hardwood from nearby forests. A traveler in the Piedmont in this period could expect to see some type of factory in every town. Textiles, woven or knit fabrics, tobacco, and furniture were regarded as the three principal industries in the state in the 20th century. Many of the workers in these factories lived on the edges of town in clusters of housing called mill villages, like the Proximity neighborhood in Greensboro. The company owned the houses, provided stores and schools, and generally influenced the lives of workers both inside and outside the factory. All three principal industries went into sharp decline in the 1990s due to foreign competition. Textile factories were closed in one Piedmont town after another. By the late 2010s, only a few communities like Cliffside and Burlington still had a strong connection to that industry. Despite a decline in smoking, cigarettes are still manufactured in Greensboro and Tobaccoville near Winston-Salem. Lenoir, Hickory, High Point, and Thomasville are still areas with furniture factories. Special feature: Carolina Places, the mysterious Devil's Tramping Ground. Most North Carolinians know that Wake Forest University students can be demon deacons, and that Duke University students paint themselves blue because they are devils. These athletic nicknames are one of the funnier parts of our state culture. So too is the folk belief that the devil himself shows up in North Carolina every night to think about his wicked plans. The Devil's Tramping Ground, an actual place south of Siler City, is world famous. People have been going there for more than a century, ever since a Wilmington newspaper first published a story about it in 1882. The story goes like this. Supposedly, Satan paces all night, just about every night, around a strange circle of dirt in Chatham County. Mysteriously, nothing will grow in a near-perfect circle that is about 40 feet in diameter. Folks in the neighborhood say that objects that fall into the circle during the day, like sticks or rocks or even heavy logs, are gone by the next morning. Hunters swear that their dogs will not cross over the space and that they yip and howl if they are taken near it. People who have stayed there during the night have often had strange dreams. More than one group of brave college students has abandoned its camp during the night. No one, however, has ever claimed to have seen the devil. There are other explanations for the place. One old tradition says that an Indian chief was killed on the spot, and his blood tainted the soil forever. More recently, advocates of unidentified flying objects say that a spaceship must have landed there and scorched away the grass. Scientists have another idea. Recently, a soil specialist from out of state took samples of dirt from the track of the circle, from the center of the circle, and from the nearby woods. He then put seeds in each sample and carefully watered them. The seeds in the soil from the center of the circle and from the woods sprouted. The seeds put in the donut soil, that is, the dirt from the place where the devil supposedly paces, did not. Tests then showed that the donut soil is totally lacking in carbon, a necessary element for plant growth. So the mystery has been solved, or has it? Scientists still scratch their heads over the fact that the soil changes completely in its fertility just an inch from the edge of the path. And there are still unanswered questions. Why such a near-perfect circle? Why is this the only place where it happens? Banking, racing, and medicine. Most Piedmont cities have worked hard to find other economic outlets. In Gastonia and Concord, for example, developers have transformed old cotton mills into condominiums and shops. Over the past two decades, Charlotte has become a world leader in banking. Charlotte has also become the support center for stock car racing. Companies that build and maintain cars on the NASCAR circuit are concentrated in the triangle from Charlotte to Concord to Mooresville. NASCAR is an acronym, an abbreviation that itself seems to be a word, meaning National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing. Charlotte is the home of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. In Winston-Salem and Durham, community leaders have attempted to turn around the decline of industrial jobs with the growth of medical services. Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem and Duke University in Durham both have world-class medical schools that staff regional hospitals. The Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area has continued to develop ways to use its resident universities. Since the 1960s, the Research Triangle Park, located in a finger of the sand hills between the three cities, has been a leader in technology innovation, particularly in pharmaceuticals and computers. Many people are drawn to these areas of the state because of the availability of good jobs. The Uwharries. The most distinctive natural feature of the Piedmont is something called the Monadnock. This hard-to-pronounce word refers to a geological condition where a point of land stands out because all of the land around it has been eroded. The most famous Monadnock is Pilot Mountain north of Winston-Salem. This handsome spire has a cap of granite that makes it recognizable from as far as 40 miles away. It has served as a landmark for North Carolinians for centuries, from the first Indian paths to the laying of interstates. One important cluster of Monadnocks is often overlooked by North Carolinians, but its location influenced the shaping of the state almost as much as did the Barrier Islands. The Uwharrie Mountains are located south of Greensboro and east of Salisbury. Although most scientists believe that the Uwharries are older than the Appalachian Mountains, they do not look the part. They resemble miniature mountains from a distance, their elevation seldom reaching more than 2,000 feet. The best-known Uwharrie peak is Morrow Mountain near Albemarle. Because of their slopes and because of the slate found in their soils, the Uwharries were not as thickly settled as other areas in the Piedmont. This is why, in large measure, there is the Piedmont Crescent, the curved necklace of towns one after another, Burlington, Greensboro, High Point, Lexington, Salisbury, and Concord, that stretch from Raleigh to Charlotte. First the buffalo, then the Native Americans followed a trail that became known as the Trading Path. Travelers on it from the coastal areas of Virginia kept the Uwharrie peaks like the Okeechobee near today's Hillsboro and Caraway Mountain near Asheboro to their right as they headed south toward the Catawba and Cherokee tribal towns in South Carolina. White settlers gradually moved the network of trails northward because the soil was more fertile as one got away from the Uwharries. When the first railroad was built in the Piedmont, it was routed around the Uwharries to the north and west to save money on grading and to bring it closer to the center of farming. Later highways, then interstates, followed the same route.